EMSradio.com.
EMS information for the next generation.
The EMS Leadership Podcast is a production of EMSradio.com. You can interact with us via email, emsleadership@gmail.com, or call us 303-720-6001.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the EMS Leadership Podcast. And now here's your host, Chris Ceballero.
Well, once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for EMS Leadership. I want to thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Chris Ceballero. And, you know, today we come back out of Scottsdale, Arizona. We're at the Pinnacle Conference, and we're going to kind of share things with you. Not everybody can get out to the Pinnacle Conference or all those great conferences that are out there. What we want to do now is we wanted to take a little bit of time. We wanted to hit some of the highlights. And I got to tell you, if there's a show that you need to go to and you're an EMS leader, it's this Pinnacle Conference. And joining me is the one, the only resident president, Don Lundy. Don, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Chris. And again, thanks for asking me on the show. It's always an honor to speak to everybody. And I saw several people who listen to the show at Pinnacle. It's always great to get that feedback, how the show's going. Thanks for asking me.
That's right. We had groupies, and it was really kind of good that we were out there to kind of share with them. And they were talking about some of the stories and some of the things that they actually, when they listened to us, they actually, you know, implement some of the things we talk about. And, you know, you and I have talked about it, Don, for a long time. There's just like three guys who listen to this show. And, you know, we're all here. We don't even think that there are actually people listening. But they were telling us that they're taking some of our practices and they're making their organizations better. And I got to tell you, it makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, it really does. It's great to hear them say, hey, and even when they say, hey, I tried that one idea, it was terrible. It was horrible. We stopped. I'm okay with that, too. I mean, I think it's more worth knowing that they stepped out.
Right.
Stepped out of the comfort box and did something. But most of the time, they say, yeah, I tried that. Hey, that really worked.
I think that bad idea was all, they're all your ideas.
So let's go ahead and pass on that.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take a trip up the coast to our international correspondent, Rob Lawrence. Rob, how are you doing?
Chris, good evening, and it was a pleasure to see both of you actually over in Arizona for the quote-unquote dry heat of the desert. If anybody says it to me again, that'll be the end of that. But it was a fantastic week, and indeed, I met folk that had listened to us, and it was very gratifying to realize that, you know, whilst we enjoy our Wednesday or Thursday nights in talking about, you know, the stuff that our pure love for the industry that we're in, it's really gratifying to hear that people are actually listening and, as Don said, taking some top tips or sometimes non-top tips away. And so, you know, that was a good thing for me.
You know, the people that reminded me that Arizona has a dry heat, I did the same and reminded them that my oven is a dry heat as well, but you don't see me hanging out in there. So, but with that, you know, first off, I think, guys, when we think about the great things that happen at Pinnacle, and I want to cover some of the classes, I want to talk about some of the networking, you know, and but I think the thing first that I want to touch on is, how does it affect you as a leader? I got to tell you, I like to think I'm a pretty motivated leader, but when I left Arizona, I was ready to come home and try some new stuff, and I was a little bit recharged.
I think this show, and this is, I've been to this a couple of times, this is a program that is really one step above a lot of things. People have been to leadership programs. You know, we do one here in South Carolina pointed towards the middle manager. But this is really what I call high-level stuff. And before that turns everybody off and says, well, I don't want to go to that. Before we say that, remember that I don't think it's – this is going to sound crazy. I don't think it's so much the actual knowledge that you gain from this show. What I think it is like you said, Chris, it is the energy you get – from other leaders who are going through the same thing that you're going through or went through it and dealt with it or went through it and they don't know what to do and you've got the answer to it. It really is a chance to sit down with other people in the industry and realize you're not going crazy. It's not unusual, the stuff you're going through, and there's some great, great programs out there that can make a difference in your system. It's as much the energy of the leaders that go to this as it is the actual knowledge itself. And those breakfasts and those lunches and that time that you get together with other people, it is worth its weight in networking abilities and knowledge that you get.
I would agree. I think as much business and learning occurs in the corridors as it does in the classroom sessions, and so therefore it is wall to wall non-stop education, network, understanding, learning, and sharing the adversities that we may have in our individual EMS operational areas, and realizing that yes, community paramedicine or mobile integrated healthcare, whatever you choose to call it, is an explosion currently overtaking the country. There are other issues with health and safety, with musculoskeletal injuries, with many things that we have many conversations and you learn. There's not a moment in that entire conference that you don't learn something or understand something, and I think that really adds value. It whilst you pay to go there, actually the return you get as a leader is worth far, far more.
And I'll tell you something I really enjoyed the very first, the keynote lecture. I saw the title of it, and it talked about compression-only CPR. And, well, we do compression-only CPR at the communication center, so what can they tell me? These aren't people come up expounding what they think they kind of think and know. They have done studies, and they have numbers, and it was awesome, the walk out of the hospital survivability out of this one study of teaching your community compression-only CPR. First responders, not intubating patients, compression-only CPR and bagging them. How, as an old dog, I got to tell you, I look at that and say, well, that can't be right. But just like the mask suit, just like many of the things, you look and say, darned if it's not. So it does energize you, and you look and say, all these years, maybe I haven't been doing. I've been doing cool stuff, been intubating people, and only doctors can do that. Maybe that's not what we need to be doing.
Let me add to that, because that you picked up a point I had a note to make, Don. Of course, it also challenged us to think differently. Challenged us to think that perhaps we've always done it this way because that some people may have as an operational methodology is being challenged. There were some interesting people. Alan Craig, who of course is the ex-chief of Toronto, came on, gave a very, very enjoyable and memorable presentation. And quite simply said, during a cardiac arrest, we may be intubating the patient just long enough to kill them. In other words, we're taking too much time off the chest, too much time getting the tubes in, so why do it? And so we were challenged, I felt, Don and Chris, constantly to think about our practice all the time. And that was a really good thing, too.
And I think one of the things that I took out of that, Rob, along the lines of what you're saying, is there are people doing the things that we want to do, and they're doing them first. And one of the things that I think is very, very helpful, and especially those folks from Canada, they are very, very far beyond their community care than we are here in the States, and I think we have a lot to learn from them. One of the things that's interesting is that they're going first and they're being leaders, and they're very, very happy to talk about the things that they did, things that went well, things that went wrong, and we're learning from their successes, we're learning from their failures, but just to hear that people are taking those steps.
I would agree with you, Chris. I think this is a very unique conference in the type of speakers that you hear from. In the clientele that actually attends it, it is very diverse and very operational as far as things that we think we know that work. They might have tried them and yeah, they do, or they might have tried them and yeah, they don't. There wasn't a time that I didn't sit anywhere and instead of just sitting, gained insight into some area of my operations that either questioned what I was doing or made me realize I could do it a little bit better. It wasn't the time, whether it was lunch or breakfast, standing there taking a phone call, didn't matter when it was. It is a different conference than I think anywhere I've known. And I would tell people that if you haven't been to Pinnacle and you say, it's too far, it's too expensive, most of the places, in fact, I haven't seen one yet that Pinnacle's held, it's a good family place to come to. And families can have a blast while you're in there learning stuff. So it really is, overall, just a tremendous leadership conference.
No, I agree. And I come back to the theme I think that I took away from it. Again, a challenge to think, I was talking about intubation being something that, we clinically need to look at. Are we being successful? Is it benefiting patients? Another interesting thing that really struck me was, we are, okay, old and bold gentleman talking about a love of our industry, but of course we've also got to go out and find new medics, and there were some interesting challenges around that too. You know, we have to be honest when we recruit. That was something that I made a note of in my notebook here and underlined. You know, we've got to stop the videos that show the red lights and sirens and crews racing to scenes, and you know, albeit the firemen running in slow motion away from the flames, and get back to what we honestly do, which is probably now a lot of, you know, psychiatric care, a lot of community health care, a lot of lower acuity care, which is interdispersed with the moments of pure emergency. And so we need to have folk understanding what it is they're coming into. And that kind of, you know, rung a bell that we have to, you know, we have to be able to portray ourselves honestly, you know, and also some interesting challenges and some interesting quotes on pay. Interestingly, if you are, you know, a new entry EMT, you know, we're competing for EMTs now with Walmart and Home Depot and Target, because their hourly rates compare to ours, and so therefore we have to, you know, make sure that we look after these people well. And, you know, some of those things were, you know, they say, well, you know, that doesn't sound, you know, right. But actually, it's got me thinking. It's got us all thinking. Coming back on the plane, you know, we talk nonstop about, you know, the things that we've learned, the lessons that we've learned, and of course, how we can implement, you know, changes, or how we can implement ideas, or, of course, who we can. And I'm armed with business cards now that I'm going through, who I can contact to ask about X, Y, or Z, or Z if you're listening in England. So again, it's a outlook-altering experience.
You know, one of the things that I think was really cool that I want to touch on as well is the networking. And we've kind of touched on it a little bit here, but I don't know that it could be overstated how important that networking was. I mean, when you talk to your peers, and they could be from a small, you know, three ambulance company, but the things that they're doing are so revolutionary. You know, there was a guy that I was talking to, and he ran a small agency, about five ambulances. He had about 50 employees, and he was telling me that they're not allowed to intubate anymore. Their medical director said no more intubation, but it started 2 years ago when they weren't allowed to intubate pediatric patients anymore. And just to hear that, you know, that the challenges that go on in our career field, and, you know, I thought I had some things bad when I have to deal with my senior administration. Here's somebody who's just come right out and saying that, you know, we can't do this anymore. And it makes you realize that, you know, maybe my system's not so bad. But I think there was a really great opportunity, both for breakfasts and lunch, that there was continental breakfast, there was a nice little lunch, we were able to grab some food, go into a big room, and sit down at a table with, what, guys, 10 or 12 seats, and just talk to people from all over the industry, from different walks of life.
And it was a great icebreaker, because, you know, even your name tag had the word Chris, Rob, or Don in huge letters. So immediately, you know, I felt comfortable saying, hello, Chris, hello, Don, or hello, Fred, or whoever. And, you know, the ice is already broken. You're all there for the same reason, of course. And so the conversations flow. And, of course, professional friendships form, networks are made, and ideas are shared. And, you know, many a conference I've been to here now where, you know, the folk I met, the first one, I'm going to mention the great one, Matt Zavadsky. I met him on the very first conference I ever came to in America, and he's remained a firm friend and also point of reference ever since. So you meet, you know, you make those contacts, and they become very, very handy. And hopefully it's a two-way street as well.
Well, I'm just glad that after you met Matt Zavadsky, you decided to stay in the United States, and we're glad that you're here with us, and thank you very much for not letting that sway your decisions. Don, what about networking? What did you think?
Okay, well, Matt's calling in now. Let me take this phone call. No, I'll tell you.
He's in Sturgis, Don.
Is he? Okay, well, maybe not. Anyhow, I think everybody hears about networking in a conference, and they go, okay, I network in other conferences. What's different about this one? Well, I'm reminded of the gentleman that I met in an airport one time in torn-up jeans and an old T-shirt, and looked over at my EMS thing on my website, and he says, oh, you're a paramedic? And I said, yes, sir. And he goes, I work in the computer business, and you know, how do you like that computer? Oh, I like it okay. We talked for about 10 minutes, and they called first class up, and he got up and he said, well, I'll see you later. And he wasn't, you know, this was in my younger days, and certainly wasn't dressed about somebody that would be. first class. And, well, come to find out, golly shucks, they ran out of seats. And, Mr. Lenny, if you want to be upgraded, and I was pretty young then, and I said, sure, I paid, you know, $30 or whatever, a lot of money at that time. But, and went into first class and ended up sitting right next to him. And he says, oh, you got bumped up. That's great. I said, yeah. I was, you didn't tell me where you worked. And he goes, I'm the CEO for IBM. And I realized then what a lot of people don't realize at this show. Chris, you're right. You know, there's a name tag, so you know them. They're just like your neighbor. And you know they work for somebody's ambulance service. But you can be sitting next to a paramedic, an EMT, or the boss of the company. And that boss and paramedic and EMT don't care if you're the boss of paramedic or EMT. You all are leaders. You have issues. You came to listen and to try to answer some questions you've got. And it is just like opening up a treasure trove. It's just like sitting down and saying, I have hit the big vein here. This guy or this lady knows everything about X that I needed to know. And it is one of those conferences that every day you end up going back to the room and writing notes for 30 minutes because you'll forget all the stuff that's out there. I truly think that 60% of the learning in this conference goes off at the tables for 10, at lunch, and at breakfast, and in the lobby, and yes, probably in the bar, where you sit with somebody and say, I got the, have you had this issue before? And they talk about it as much as it does in the classroom.
Yeah, I think one of the things, the value of that as well is, Rob, you mentioned this, is that you start to develop not only that network, but these are people that you eventually get to call friends as well. And, you know, not only do we meet new people every time we go, but the people that we, you know, interact with on a regular basis, I think it's a really good opportunity to visit with them as well. One of the things that, you know, I always find interesting is whether you're a paramedic, whether you're a supervisor, whether you're a manager, you know, every so often we may reach out to, you know, the peers that are out there in the United States. Don, I know that I've called you and said, how would I handle a situation like this? And you've been very gracious to assist. But really, when you're kind of sitting down with them and you're face to face with them, you know, you feel that air of egotism go away. And you're like, more or less, hey, you know, if you work in this system, how do you fix this problem, you know? And I think we forget that sometimes when we need to pick up the phone. But it's like when you're sitting close to somebody and you're sharing a Coke or you're sharing a cup of coffee or even sitting in the bar for an adult beverage, you know, you're really sharing the challenges and the hurdles that happen in your system.
Without a doubt. And of course, by getting away for a few days anyway from your organization, it gives you thinking time, gives you decompression space, and everybody's doing the same thing. So actually what it does is allows the ideas and the imagineering, as somebody once said, to flow forth. And of course you go away, and that's one of the reasons you go away inspired. Modern day technology of, you know, we're actually talking to each other right now across the country via a Skype system. Modern day technology allows you then to refer back to that person, and you know it will eventually help us, because the other great American phrase I love is, once you've seen one ambulance service, you've seen one ambulance service. It will help us all to, you know, adopt those best practices, to, you know, use, be lean, efficient, to, you know, dare I say, adopt, you know, in some cases high performance systems, you know, operating agendas, if you like. And so from places like this, we are really benefiting from just being together to exchange thoughts at that level, and it's great.
Yes, it truly is. And when you listen to some of the ideas that are out there, and I've always learned that if I hear something and I go, man, that sounds wacky, well, that's where I want to go. I want to go over to that table and say, tell me more. Tell me what, because this sounds wacky, what you're talking about. And 9 times out of 10, it's not wacky. It's just outside your personal comfort zone. And I would warn anybody, if you come to one of these conferences, you have to open your head up. You have to open your heart up. You have to be able to listen to things that might be uncomfortable for you to hear about workloads, and about that maybe there are people out there really struggling, and maybe you're the one that's struggling. Maybe you're way behind. You have to be able to be there. And because nobody is there to laugh at you. Everybody is there to say, I want to help you be successful. I mean, they really are. There's no competition there. So it's a, you know, it is one of the few conferences that I go to that I feel very warm and enveloped the minute I enter the hall.
Well, let's go ahead and switch gears a little bit. And, you know, I remember this is probably maybe the sixth or so year that Pinnacle has been going on, and it's been growing every single year, and it's great to see, you know, the new folks that are coming. And I talked to a couple of the folks that have come for the first time, and actually one of the sessions they kind of gave was Pinnacle for first-timers, which I thought was really kind of cool. But the thing that struck me, and I know this is going to eventually get to a question, guys, but the thing that struck me is it seems that this conference is very, very astute to the challenges that are going on in EMS today. The first one I went to, it was very, very dynamic with system status, with deployment plans, with, you know, how to keep that UHU down, you know, things like that. I guess my question goes to this. Is there any doubt that after this conference that mobile integrated healthcare isn't the wave of our future?
There was nothing in this conference, and I'll tell you something that meant even more to me than the conference. There was a lot of camaraderie with different organizations there. The week after I got back from Phoenix, I ended up speaking at the 30th anniversary of the EMS for Children, and any of the folks out there listening who have kind of been involved in EMS for Kids know how terribly important that organization is. One of the few, I'll have to say, federal entities that really took the money and spent it for kids for the purpose of the process. But I sat in a room. I got there at 7:30 in the morning, and I literally had to be off the ground at 12 noon. I had met three people in the room of 80. We had nine panelists. Mobile integrated healthcare was mentioned as happening, not as a dream, but as happening no less than six times. Community paramedic was discussed as happening, not a dream come true, something they want to do one day, eight times by all sorts of organizations, physicians and nurses. And this will help the dinosaurs a bit out there. I made the joke that I know how far we'd come in 30 years because Matt Zavasky would be proud to hear mobile integrated healthcare and community paramedic mentioned so many times as happening out there in the field. But more important, I was in a table with nine physicians and nurses, and there were three paramedics, and nobody was getting into a fist fight. And if you remember the non-teamwork when we first started, not because all of us were nasty or whatever, but we didn't know what we didn't know. We didn't know who was who. We didn't know who had the white and the black hat. And only years from now, and in fact probably in the last 5 years, we realized we all have the white hat and we're all on the team. And just the fact that we could discuss with one another without thinking we're in each other's face, I think shows that the word integrated healthcare, mobile integrated healthcare, particularly community paramedic, it's coming. And those, if you went to Pinnacle, you certainly got that message.
And I'm not going to labor the MIH point because I think Don's covered it elegantly, but just to go off on a slight tangent, I mean, kudos to Jay Fitch and his team because they are men about the EMS town literally across the country. So therefore, they've got their fingers on the pulse. And obviously, they're able to leverage that to bring us the conference that we got. So, you know, kudos to them because they do a fantastic job. MIH, of course, was very prevalent. Also, things like, you know, the fact that the public purse, public budgets are shrinking. We're encouraged to do more with less. We have to be very efficient now. Was clearly a big thing. The theme that we've been talking about for many of our shows now is we have to learn us to speak a new language. We have to learn the language of the Institute of Healthcare Improvement. We have to learn all about the triple aim. If Patrick was here, he'd be talking about speaking hospital. Those things were lessons that struck home. We need to work smarter. And another thing that I wrote down and underlined, of course, the key for the future is absolutely value, not volume. And so those things were also big takeaways in addition to the, you know, the big ticket item, that the hot topic of MIH as well.
I think one of the things that really benefited me was to know that, you know, the way that we're going, we're on a very good track. But here's something that really startled me is, you know, we live in this fee-for-service world. We go to your house, we do what we have to do. We put you on the stretcher, we send a bill for that. We had a power session that was moderated with Cigna and with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And I don't know about you guys, but I was a little bit startled when it came to the fact of them saying that we may have a year to a year and a half left of fee-for-service, and we are going to need to find our money elsewhere.
I wasn't surprised at that, but I was surprised that they were so sure that that was happening. And I think that's probably true, and I think there's a lot of people who are standing now in the middle of the tent, and they say to themselves, "I don't believe that," and I guess they're going to hedge their bet, and I guess we'll find out when we find out if they're right, and history doesn't show that they are, but if they are, well, no harm, no foul, and if they're wrong, boy, there's going to be some hurting people in the coming years.
You know, they kept saying, you know, years ago, and in my years ago, it was like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when I first arrived here, you know, I had the book EMS at the crossroads. We were at a crossroads. Which way are we going to go? What's going to happen to us? Of course, I think we've gone through the crossroads now, and we're sort of heading along actually reasonably nicely. But, you know, we now have to shift gears, and the gear shift requires us to start thinking about the new world order, what's on the horizon, what's over the horizon. And actually, you know, the division of payment for satisfaction and for, you know, achieving the triple aim, etc., is just around the corner. So we have to learn the new language that's over that horizon, and we have to learn it now, just in case, as Don says, just in case it is going to happen next year, year after. But it won't hurt us to actually start to get to grips with all of this new, you know, culture speak, language, etc.
You know, and I think one of the things, though, that approach was very, very startling. I was very surprised to hear that they're very, very interested in listening to us about mobile integrated healthcare. They're not opposed to paying for it, but they gave us some very good advice. And that advice was, we need to be able to start showing metrics. What are the patient outcomes? What are the patient satisfaction? Now, this hasn't trickled down to EMS yet, so take this as a little bit of Jack and the Magic Beans here and start to work on the processes of determining how you can measure outcomes, determining how you can measure patient satisfaction, and get with those local payers that are in your area to say, how can we collaborate on the fact of now getting some reimbursement for mobile integrated healthcare? You know, there were a lot of great classes that went on there at Pinnacle. Don, I know that you taught a class on advocacy, but you're a very dynamic speaker, and I think you kept the audience engaged, you kind of kept things going, so, you know, kudos on the way that you gave your class. But one of the things that I really wanted to talk about is, what was the one class that you guys took that really made an impact for you that you said, I got to jump on this right away?
I'll tell you, and it's mine's probably anticlimactic for that, but I'll tell you the one I take, and it's the same one I take every year. Jay Fitch gives, I think it's a keynote address, but it is his kind of annual review of what's happened in the last year, and it revolves on, who knows what it revolves on. You know, 1 year it revolved on the death of his brother. This year it involved on a slight little accident he had in his airplane that could have really ended up really bad. And he fills me up for the year. He corrects my gyroscope and gets me back on track to being really excited to where I am. And really, every year, even if I disagree with things he says, and there's a lot of things I disagree with he says, at the end of his lecture, I feel like I've been filled up. It's one of those times that I for a moment, I forget about new programs or old programs or how am I going to change programs, and I make it about me. And my leadership, and where am I, and where should I be? And truly, I think all leaders on a yearly basis have to have somebody that they can go and listen to. Scotty Bolliter is one of my favorite ones. He gets me straight and fills me up in a lot of things that can make you understand that, A, you're not going crazy, B, you're not getting too old for the job, all the things that you hear, and at the end of that lecture, you're filled up. You're ready to jump back out. So my favorite part of that whole conference.
You know, just to jump in on you before Rob jumps in, Don, one of the things that I was thinking about during Jay Fitch's talk is it was very, very motivational. But one of the things I found very interesting is, and now I like to think that I could be motivating when I talk, but I'm very animated and I use good voice. He was very mellow in his motivation. And it made me realize that maybe you don't have to be as motivated or as animated to be a motivational speaker. Because if you think back to his talk, he was very just straightforward, matter of fact. I don't think his pulse got above 32 because it was just a very, very detailed, motivating, and it made you think. He touched on those high points. He made you think about what those high points were, and I just thought his style of delivery was very interesting.
Yeah, he does sit as if he's just having a talk with you, And when he brings his voice down to that lower level, two things you know. One, he's getting serious. He's going to talk about something that's really serious. And two, he's talking right to you. You know, and for a minute, I think that's what I like about it so much, is everybody else in the room kind of disappeared. He's talking to me because he's not, like you said, he's not animated. He's not, his voice isn't excited. It doesn't have to be. He's talking to me, and he's talking about me and my issues. Or maybe not me and my hope I don't have the issues. He and I are both pilots. I'm blessed that I've never crashed an airplane, and we're all blessed that he walked away from his. I think that was a sobering time in his life. As a leader, something that he's passionate about, that he doesn't want to make a mistake about. Now, everybody listen to the show, think about that. That's something that you're passionate about, something that you really know. You know backwards and forwards, and you've studied it, and you know it. And you go and implement something, and you fall flat on your face. Well, there's two ways to do that. You can be befuddled over the whole thing and get up and say, "Well, I'm hell with that. I'm not doing that anymore." And I think we probably lose more great leaders because they think they can't make mistakes. Or you get up and you dust yourself off, and like he did, calls his wife and says, "I'm okay. I think somebody needs to come and pick up the plane." And I mean, you heard in the lecture what he did. Before the FAA ever even called to arrange to have a meeting, he had gone with an instructor 10 to 11 times and said, "Again, let me do it again. Let me run through it again." That's a leader that can do something in any process, and he falls flat in his face and he gets up and says, "Boy, that was a bonehead thing," and learn from it and say, "I'm just because I'm a leader, I'm not perfect." I think that's what I really came away with it, is that we all crash our plane and walk away from it. Hopefully walk away from it. The difference is, do you get back in the seat the next day?
It was a parable of life when you talked about the tone of delivery. But it was absolutely perfect because, as Don said, he was talking to me and me only. I must say, I photographed every one of the slides that he put up because there was some amazing stuff on there, not just the photograph of downed aircraft as such, but it was talking to me, and it was, as you say, it was that, you know, you get a chance to make mistakes, but what you must do is get back in the saddle or get back in the cockpit in this place and get back up there and start flying with the Eagles again. And so very motivating, very inspiring. What impressed me about the conference, well, I'm going to steal a couple, Chris, because I'll always take more than I'm allowed to. I mentioned Alan Craig. He was actually quite provocative in his talk, and he challenged us to do a lot of thinking. You know, some of the ideas that he came up with, you know, that we've now been 40 years in ALS. Is it time to have a rethink on our practices and procedures? You know, are we doing things just because it's good, wholesome? You know, the whole airway management thing is I think, a debate that's about to rage in the next in the coming few years. You know, so he was challenging us about, you know, the things that we do. You know, most of our work is actually BLS. So why do we spend more time training in ALS? Again, little prods at us, but actually it was a well-intentioned prod to get us all thinking. You know, and so the interesting point about video laryngoscopes, you know, it's all well and good if the patient looks like the mannequin, you know, another prod. You know, the point being is you need to have a degree of skill before you progress onto the high-tech things. A bit like the analogy of, you know, you may have a GPS in your car, but if the batteries fail and you can't read a roadmap, then you've had it. So that was, as I say, I felt challenged by what he's entertained, of course, and challenged. Now, the other one that impressed me, and you mentioned the keynote, and that was actually Dr. Bentley Bobrow from Arizona. And, of course, what he and his team have done is created a statewide solution to what was, in effect, poor cardiac arrest survival and outcome. And of course, they are doing great things now. And of course, he came out with some great stats. Of course, their increase in not only return of spontaneous circulation, but also intact survivors with, you know, less traumatic brain injury. And of course, that's something else that's coming out clinically. You know, a cardiac arrest patient is also a patient that's suffering from traumatic brain injury. I think we're starting to understand that now, and certainly in hospitals, working with my medical director, Joe Onato, that, you know, cardiac arrest survivors now get a good dose of TBI treatment as well. You know, lessons learned, like, you know, minimally interrupted cardiac resuscitation, or MICR, an abbreviation for it. So there was, so I was inspired by the fact that a whole state had adopted a system that was being rigorously applied, that was showing results and being exceptionally effective. So, you know, we can do this as a state, and they're certainly doing it, and credit to them. And so, again, inspired by both, you know, the person that was there to be provocative and also the person that was there to inspire us with the success story that they'd had. Over.
You know, one of the things that really kind of impressed me is that, you know, the quality of the speakers as well. And, you know, a lot of times, and this is one of my pet peeves, and having an education background and enjoying the opportunity to speak with folks and kind of impart some of my knowledge, you know, the caliber of the speakers was very, very, you know, was high quality. A lot of times I get very disappointed that EMTs and paramedics, they'll spend their hard-earned money to go to a conference, you know, sometimes $500 of their money, and they get the same old type of lecture, and it's the reading off the PowerPoint, it's not engaging. But from here, we really got the cream of the crop of EMS leaders and the challenges that they have when it comes to their systems and sharing that knowledge with us. And I think that we can't be lost on the fact of, as an EMS leader or as a potential leader, coming to this conference is a very, very important benefit for us to I don't even know which word to use. I mean, to develop, for us to motivate, for us to bring our organizations to the next level. And I think it's a little bit of all that above. But, I mean, the speakers there were outstanding this year.
Yeah, I would have to say that every year when I look at the lectures and some of the speakers, I think most of us in this business will look to see for familiar names, people that they know, people that they've heard. Oh, I've heard he's pretty good. Well, I don't know who this guy is. And this is one of those conferences that there'll be a lot of names that you really haven't heard too much of before, because we're not in that circle. One year you had a banker, a pretty big financier come. But I can tell you, you're going to want to hear whoever he brings. He picks, I was just so honored that you know, he even wanted Rob and Troy and I to speak there. It was just such an honor to do that. But I mean, the big names that he brings always aren't big names in our circle, but in fact they bring a plethora of information that you can directly apply to your system when you go home.
Also, I think I had the pleasure of meeting Matthias from Switzerland, who actually listens to this show, so he could be one of our furthest listeners. You know, and Philip, who was actually a South African that had previously worked with the London Ambulance Service, that was now the Deputy Director of Paramedic Services in the sort of Arabian nation of Qatar. So you meet an absolute diversity of people providing services in not only countries but climates, you know, interesting operational environments and everything else. And so that also adds to a good reason to go.
So let me ask you this, guys, and we kind of always say, as we finish shows after we've been to these conferences, you know, for the people out there that haven't gone, you know, what do you say to them that they go next year? But I want to kind of change that up a little bit, and Don, I'll start with you. But what makes you go back next year?
Well, I think I told you, I do like to get filled up, at least centered, or my gyro recalculated, with visiting with Jay and talking with him, finding out what's going on, you know, some of the places he's been and some of the things he's seen, but listening to his motivational lecture. I think I go back every year because of the quality of the information you receive. And it's not that you go into a classroom for an hour and you get quality and you come out and there's nothing to it. From the time you step on the floor, from the time you're in the hall looking at equipment, you go into a classroom, you go into a lunchroom, you go into breakfast, it's constant information. It's so diverse and so wanting by us that it's hard not to go back, because you're afraid you're going to miss something. You're afraid that something's going to happen. And 2 years down the road, there'll be this fantastic thing called community paramedic, and you go, where in the world did you hear that? And somebody will tell you, it was at Pinnacle. We were talking about it, and this wacky idea, the paramedics go out and take care of people, and before you know it, it was there. So I think I keep going back because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. And I would tell those that are listening that say, I'm doing okay. I don't need any new stuff. We're very comfortable where we are. I would caution you that the train has left the building and it's coming straight for you. Please don't in any way think that anybody is ever safe. It's okay. My elected officials understand. If you talk to any of the systems around the United States, especially in this cultural divide that we're in this country, you can see that everything can change at a moment's notice. There's a town in, I think it's upstate New York, that they laid off the firefighters and closed the ambulance service, poof, overnight, bye-bye. And they would have said, no way that's going to happen. It did. So if you want to learn things that you'll never learn in a normal place, in a normal conference that you might go to, this is the place to go to. If you think you're really comfortable and you don't need anything, this is really some place you need to go to.
I think somebody said it best. I was listening to again, lunch conversation. Somebody said that Pinnacle is to management what Eagles is to clinicians. And I think I agree with that because, again, it's at the top of its game. It attracts the like-minded people. If you get one chance to go, I think you should invest and do it.
You know, and for me, I go back again. I go back for the networking. I go back for the camaraderie. I go back for the education. You know, this year at Pinnacle, there were over 40 vendors. So the vendor list is growing as well. And I have to tell you, one of the things that I found very, very interesting is when we go to other national conferences and they have, you know, the little things that go into our bags or the different bags or uniforms or glasses. A lot of the stuff that you're going to really see at the Pinnacle Conference is geared towards the management level. I mean, there were some really great new pieces of equipment that we had the opportunity to look at, and I really appreciated that. Necessarily, I may not stop on a national conference show floor and look at those things, but I did, and I took time, and they took time with me. But next year, back to Amelia Island in Jacksonville. It's going to be first week in August, so go ahead and save your pennies, and let's go ahead and see you out there at the Pinnacle Conference. I want to thank you for joining us. If you want to go ahead and send an email, you can do that to emsleadership@gmail.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you could do that at Chief VMS. For Don Lundy and Rob Lawrence, this is Chris Sabalero. Until next time, everybody have a great week.